Good morning. How are we this morning? Did you come ready to worship Jesus this morning? Amen. Could you stand with me, please? We're going to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this glorious day, God. We thank you that we're able to come into your house and lay all of our burdens at your feet and worship you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we just thank you for all that you provided for us this week, each and every day, God. And Father, all we can do is give back to you in praising you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that your anointing falls in this place on each and every person that is here this morning. Father, we remember families that walk through some difficult times this week. Father, we just thank you that we have peace and hope in you, God, because you are the true God, Lord. Father, I just pray, I lift up Don and Sherry and Sarah and Alan to you this morning, God, as they have a time of rest, Lord, and they're on vacation, God. I just pray that you bless them, Jesus, where they are, God. We thank you that we are under pastors that believe in you, God, that believe your word, Jesus, and that will not waver from scriptures, God. I just thank you, Lord. We are blessed, God, to have them in this house as our pastors, Lord. Father, we just turn this service over to you. Have your way in this place, God. Let your anointing fall in this room as we begin to worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. First song we're singing this morning is Graves into Gardens. Amen. God can turn our mourning to dancing. He can turn our shame to glory. He can turn our graves into gardens and our seas into highways. And he is the only one that can do that. Amen.
The world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty frame, treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my won't find me again.
that some of you were here last night as we served Jersey Shore, as people got to come and have a hamburger, a hot dog, a bag of chips, a drink, some freshly popped popcorn, and they got to have a great view of the fireworks. And I'm just in awe of what God provides for us, that he provides, that we are allowed to give out to our community and just to show Christ's love. And it's I know Mandy and Denny take on this every year, and I just thank you for them. I thank you that you guys continue to do that as we bless the community. And I know that they don't get to hear the comments that we hear as we're passing out the food, and people are just in awe of that. And they're always asking if they can leave a donation, and I love that we're able to say no, we don't want to take a donation. And I know that you guys, Mandy, don't always get to hear those comments, but there was many people that were blessed by that because of taking on that task and doing that. So we just thank you guys, and I'm just in awe to be a part of that and all that God is doing in our lives. Amen.
The brightness.
Jesus, we just thank you, God, how good you are to us. We just praise you, God. We thank you that we're able to come and lay all of our burdens at your feet and just worship you, Jesus. Come out of agreement with the lie that you have left me on my own. Oh, I am not alone. I come out of agreement with the worry and the fear I've come to know. No, they won't have a hold on me. Protector, Jesus. Sing it again. No weapon. you are worthy, God, of all of our praise. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray, God, I pray, Lord, for the message that's going to come forth this morning. I thank you for Tim, as he, I know, God, that he knows exactly what you have for us this morning. I know his heart, God. I know the time that he spent preparing for this morning, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. Just bless Tim as he comes and gives the word. Father, we're in all of you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Okay. As the team leaves, go ahead and greet each other. Say hi. All that jazz. Make sure you find somebody you don't know. All right. How is everybody this morning? All good? Who came out for the fireworks last night? Well, three of us, four of us, there we go. I know there were a lot of us here because we served the people last night in a wonderful way. I know I cooked, Denny, how many hamburgers did you buy? Because they were all eaten up. Yeah, they were gone, a lot of hot dogs, a whole lot of popcorn, who knows on that one. But we're a little different today. You notice that Pastor Don and Sherry are not here. Angie mentioned they're on vacation along with Sarah and Alan. So I didn't have Sherry as the interlude here before I preached. So I thought I'd tell a couple jokes. What do you think? Have you ever heard me tell jokes? Trust me, these are not my jokes. But it is Independence Day. We celebrated the 4th of July. So I thought a couple of Independence Day humor jokes here. What do you get if you cross a patriot and a dog with curly hair? A Yankee poodle. Ah, come on. I didn't say they were good jokes. I just, you know. Okay, we'll let that one go. Here's another one. What does the Statue of Liberty stand for? Think about it. Because it can't sit. Was the Declaration of Independence written in Philadelphia? It was written in ink. There you go. All right, one more. Best one. Did you hear the one about the Liberty Bell? It cracked me up too. Okay, there you go. There you go. There's some Independence Day humor. But because I have the option as the guy bringing the message, I get to decide what happens. So I decided I have a favorite song by Lee Greenwood that is just a phenomenal song about our nation, the freedoms, and the cost involved in defending that freedom. So I want to play that song. So you guys can cue that up and we'll play that. And then I will actually bring you the word, but just in remembrance and celebration, I wanted to play this song.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom,
and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know
from the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say.
How can you not love that song, right? Good song. What I want to try to do today, that song always makes me remember. I was in the military, those of you who don't know that. Served proudly for many years. Our freedoms come at a cost, a high cost sometimes, but it's worth fighting for. I don't know if, who else served in the military? There's got to be a couple more. Couple. Or you know somebody that has. It comes at a high cost. I'm going to tie that with the freedoms we have in Christ also come at a cost. It doesn't, nothing is free. Freedom is not free. But in the military, we fought for freedom. It didn't matter whose politics was in. It didn't matter any of that. We were fighting for the principle of freedom. And as believers, we need to fight for our freedom we have in Christ. Okay? So I'm going to tie that together, hopefully, today. But I believe God has blessed and provided for our nation. Everybody that's lived here any length of time, if you look back at history, you've got to see the connection, historically, how God has provided for this nation since before it was a nation. Now, I don't know if you're a history buffs or not, but I recently read a book called The American Miracle by Michael Medved. In the book, he recounts many historical facts that would truly point to God intervening and helping to form our nation. So therefore, if God went to all that trouble, he's not going to stop now, in my opinion. He gave us a new president to get us back on track, but we're not going to go into politics. But I wanted to give you just a couple quick examples from the book. And you can see, even in the Bible, God used some of these. God uses natural phenomena, the weather. I'll give you a couple examples of that. He protects people supernaturally against injury and death. Divine timing. Certain events happened in the course of our nation's birthing that were just unexplainable things that happened. Even George Washington himself said, "If I shall be able to rise superior, it must involve the intervention of a higher power, the hand of providence to blind the eyes of our enemies." Okay? Many of the founding fathers in their, what do you do when you write down your stuff? Your biographies and autobiographies and stuff, quote the knowledge of a higher power intervening. I'll give you a couple of examples. The pilgrims. You know the pilgrims didn't land where they were supposed to? Do you know why the pilgrims didn't land where they're supposed to? Because there was a large storm that blew them 250 miles from where they were going to land. Now, I can only suppose that God had a reason for that. He probably didn't want the pilgrims intermingling with the other colonists that were there that would be a bad influence on them, maybe, English colonists. But what happened was 250 miles off course. Now, you would think this is bad. All right, now they're on this new land, no resources, no one to back them up. But they come across a deserted Indian village. Okay? God's hand, they land, there's a village, nobody in it. Maybe. Shelters them from the storm so they survived that first winter. Because they had no clue what they were doing, let's face it. They didn't know how to get along. But then in the spring, they see a lone Indian coming toward them. I'm not going to say the Indian's name because I probably can't pronounce it. One Indian coming toward them, they say, oh, geez, what are we going to do now? We can't communicate with this Indian. Well, the Indian comes up and says, hi, how are you? In their language. This Indian was from that village. The village had suffered an illness, a plague, so everybody either died or left. But the Indian ended up getting captured by the English, taken to England, raised in England, learned the language, learned the religion, escaped, worked his way back to that village right as the pilgrims needed him, and was able to communicate with them, understand them, and help them survive. God's intervention? I don't know. How about George Washington? Back then, illness was rampant. There was all kind of stuff around. But George Washington, when he was young, was plagued with several illnesses that would have probably killed a normal guy, but he survived. You know, one battle George Washington was in. I'm gonna earmark this. Back in the day, you know, the general, where did he hang out? He rode in the front on a horse. Not like our generals that sit in Washington and push a button. Just something to think about. But anyway, George Washington, in one battle, three horses shot out from under him and eight bullet holes in his clothing when he was done. Not a scratch on him. God's hand? Again, perhaps. Could be coincidences, but I'm not saying it is. Almost 8 years of the Revolutionary War, he never got a scratch. And he always was out front. Many things. Weather events. In one battle, he was losing badly, by the way. He didn't win every battle. I believe it was in New York. Got his butt kicked the first day, and he's thinking, I got to get out of here. But there's no way to retreat because he's got the river on the side, and the British have boats in the river. Fog rolls in. Storm blows in. Fog covers his retreat, and the storm keeps the ships from going up the river to get him. God's hand, maybe. Many examples like that in this book. If you like history, it's a good book. Andy Jackson, same thing. He wasn't like George. He got shot all the time. But he never got killed. And you know what he did. He did a lot of cool stuff. Sam Houston. You know, Sam Houston was vastly outnumbered by Santa Anna and his troops, and he should have lost badly. What did he end up doing? Ended up catching Santa Anna and ended the whole thing. God's hand? Who knows? Land acquisitions. You know Napoleon used to own the Louisiana Territory? Napoleon had a dream. The dream said, sell it to America. Why would Napoleon give away such a territory at such a bargain price? I don't know. Maybe because he had a dream and he thought, I better listen. Many other examples. Just the fact that we formed the government. Can you imagine how hard that was? It took them months and months to form the government that we have now. Lincoln. I won't go into Lincoln's history, but he was basically a nobody from nowhere. Became president at just the right time to do what he had to do. Right? Many examples in history. My point is, against all odds, God showed up, fought alongside man for the freedom we enjoy today. God still shows up now for our nation, but also helps us to fight our spiritual freedom. Because Because it's a battle every day. If you didn't know it, you're in a battle. Title of the message today is God's Living Temple Brings a Freedom Unlike Any Other. God's Living Temple. You know who that is? That's us. In case you didn't know it, you are the temple of God. You are a living temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" That's the question today. Which temple are we? And I include myself in that because we all fall into the same category. Now, as I speak today, I'm not talking to just you guys or who's listening. I'm talking to myself, too. God always gives me a message that applies to myself as well. But the main scripture today, you'll see it on the screen. It's in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1. I think it's up there. I don't know which would be easier to read from. I'm just going to read from my paper. It's probably easier. It says, "Don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliances. For what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Who could mingle light and darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What friendship does God's temple have with demons? For indeed, we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, 'I will make my home in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people.' For this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be true father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. Beloved ones, with promises like these, and because of our deepest respect and worship of God, we must remove everything from our lives that contaminates body and spirit, and continue the development of holiness within us." Now, there is a lot in there. I'm going to break that down as I go. But there's a couple of key things in there. We are the temple of the living God, and we must remove the junk. If we defile the temple, God is not pleased, right? I'm going to let you fill in your bulletin points. Actually, I already filled in for you because I thought I'd make it easier in case I missed one. So I'm going to talk about mismatch alliances. I'm going to talk about the temple of the living God. I'm going to talk about the truth. And then I'm going to talk about the challenge. Now the disclaimer here is Romans 8, 1 and 2. "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death." Many of the things I'm going to mention are things that I myself have struggled with. We all have something in our lives that defiles our temple, right? None of us is Christ, therefore none of us is perfect. We've all fallen short. So we all have something that defiles the temple of God, right? What I hope to get through is that I used to struggle with some of these things, and then as I mature, I found out that instead of struggling, if I just surrender them to God, it works a lot better. So that's my suggestion to you. But my hope is that we'll all be encouraged to take up the higher call, to improve in our walk, to find something in our temple that's not good and clean it out, right? That should always be our goal, is to improve our walk with Christ. So that's the goal today. So let's get into it a little bit. Well, scripture will come in a minute. Did you know Satan is alive and well? You see him all around us, that's for sure. Satan is the great deceiver, the father of lies. You know his goal is to undermine society, one believer at a time. And he's doing a pretty good job. The enemy corrupts on multiple fronts. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, even what we taste. He's got his hand into every aspect of our lives. Technology, innovation, what we call progress, our feelings, our desires, all those little buttons, he knows exactly which ones to push. But the truth is, again, we all have something in us. I'll call them idols or false gods, whatever you want to call them. We all have something in our temple that shouldn't be there that we can clean out. Why is that a fact? Well, it's a fact because the nature of man is sin and rebellion. We've been in rebellion since the Garden of Eden, right? It's part of who we are. Part of it is that I don't want to clean out my temple because I want to keep control of some things. Could be several reasons. Those are just a couple. But the truth is that if you hold on to the idols or false gods, that comes at a cost and leads to what I'll call slavery. Everything we hold on to that defiles the temple comes at a cost. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But think of that. Anything that's bad comes at a cost, right? Scripture says we must remove everything. So any idol or false god that pulls us away from God needs to go. What's God's first commandment out of the ten? Anybody know? No other gods. What are idols and things in our life that pollute our temple? There are other gods. First commandment, do not have any other gods before me. Pastor Don mentioned, I think last week, Deuteronomy 11:16. It reads, be careful that you are not enticed to turn aside to worship and bow down to other gods. The word entice means to attract or tempt by offering pleasure or gain. Some of the things I'm going to talk about are strictly pleasure or gain for us. So some of the things that pollute our temple may be just purely selfish things. Most of them are. Something to remember as you're sitting there and you say, oh, I'm in pretty good shape. My temple's looking pretty good. We can all fall, great or small. The Lord reminded me this morning, he said, you remember King David? I said, yeah, I remember King David. He said, think about King David and how well he was doing until he wasn't. What happened to King David? First thing, remember the general and the king goes to battle with his army? King David stayed home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he got in trouble. With who? Bathsheba, right? I won't go into the story. It's a long story. You can read it. King David should have been in battle doing his kingly stuff. He stayed home, saw a girl, and you know what happened after that. The king fell. His whole household was affected by that for generations. The kingdom was affected by that for generations. Now, King David repented, turned back, and continued, but he fell. So even if we think we're in great shape, the enemy is looking for any opening to knock you down. So when I start going over some of the things that I want to caution you about, just remember, the enemy doesn't need much. Little crack in the armor and he's coming in. But the king stayed home, got himself in trouble. Personal note, that's when I find out I struggle the most. I got maybe 15 or 20 minutes before I got to be somewhere, or I'm between jobs. What do? I find something useless to do, right? We all do it. Time fillers, right? But anyway, that's a side note. So you've got to be cautious all the time. The enemy will use worldly things to distract us and get us out of God's will. Remember Pastor Don? Follow, trust the plan, right? You can't trust the plan if you're sidetracked. You're going to get off track. Here's some of the lies the world will tell us. Sometimes it's lies I tell myself. Sometimes it's lies the world tells me about myself. Sometimes it's just lies. The enemy is a liar, right? How about this one? If it feels good, go. go ahead and do it. It's okay. You're pleasing yourself, right? If it feels good, do it. It's okay. My friends all do it. And then God said, don't look at the guy in the next pew, because sometimes you see somebody that's a believer and you say, oh, they're doing that. That must not be that bad. He's doing it. Well, just because the other believer's doing it don't make it good. Okay? So don't trust always in your neighbor. If it's on Google, Facebook, at whatever, everybody else on Facebook, must be all right. I can handle it. I won't get hooked. Or I'm not hurting anybody doing that. There is an endless amount of lies that you can tell yourself or the enemy will tell you. How about the self-worth ones? I'm not valued. I'm nobody. I'll never measure up. So I need to find that value in other things. So you look for it in other places. The goal of the enemy is to desensitize us. Desensitize means to make you less likely to feel shock or distress. Now, specifically at scenes of cruelty, violence, and suffering, but it also desensitizes us to other things. You know, you hear the news and you hear of another shooting or another whatever, and we become desensitized because it's just all around us. Remember, Satan is the great deceiver. He's looking for any opening. His goal is to get us out of God's timing and plan for our lives. You've heard this many times too. Pastor Sherry mentions it quite frequently. We are in a spiritual battle. This is not just me and you, flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. Revelation 18, if you were to read that in detail, says Babylon is fallen. It's now a lair of demons and unclean spirits. The world is a fallen place. It is full of demons and unclean spirits that want to eat you for lunch. So we've got to always be on our guard. Anything that affects my witness or entices me, lures me away from God, needs to go. Okay? Sounds simple, right? Just get rid of it. I know the simplest thing are the hardest to do. So it's not an easy thing. I understand that. Let me give you a couple of examples. So the first point, mismatched alliances. This is verse 14 and 15. I'll read it again. It says, don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliances. For what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Who could mingle light and darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Anytime you have, you're trying to mix two worlds together, you're going to have a clash. You're going to have conflict. Light and dark cannot mingle, right? The scripture is very clear. What partnership is there between right and wrong, righteousness and rebellion, light and dark? There can be no harmony between Christ and Satan. So anything we let into our temple that is bad is from Satan. It cannot intermix with the light that's within you. You're always going to have a conflict. Give you a simple example. I told you I was a Marine, so yeah. If you think about the military, you probably have a picture of what that means. It means we worked hard, we played hard. I'll leave it at that. Okay? I didn't have any conflict the first 5 years I was in the Marines. I worked hard, I played hard. All was well. But I also did not know God. When I met my wife and got married, then we had conflict. The first 5 years of marriage were wonderful and horrible at the same time because she did know the Lord and she wanted me to know. So the conflict started. Go to church? No. I stay home and drink beer with my buddies. Go to church? Okay, I'll go to church. Then I'll come home and drink beer with my buddies. You could see how that probably did not work well, right? But those are the kind of conflicts you get when you try and mix light and dark. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. So anytime I have something in my temple that is against what God would want, I'm going to have conflict. That's why I have trouble in my life sometimes, is because I've let something into the temple and I haven't dealt with it. going to be a clash all the time. You can't have a foot in each world. I can't say I'm a believer, God in me, and have a bunch of junk in me too. I've got to be able to get rid of the junk. And this is a caution that I found. The darkness is very strong. Very strong. It takes a lot of prayer and effort and trust to get rid of the darkness. Things that are in us that the enemy has a foothold, he isn't letting go of it easy. And a lot of times the darkness is more impact on the believer than the believer will have on the darkness. So be very cautious what you let into your temple or who you hang out with, and there's a lot of stuff that go with that. John 17:14 says, it is clear we are in the world, but not to be of the world. We've all heard that one. What does that mean? Because the world also says you're to go out and make disciples. So I've got to go out among them to make disciples, but I ain't got to move in with them, right? I can go out, but I better make sure I come back, because it's easy to get lost out there. So we have to go, but we have to go with our full armor on to reach the lost, but we have to be very cautious not to become the lost. I'll give you an example. Now, this isn't real life. This is just something I made up for an example. I know a believer. I'm a believer. I know an unbeliever. He likes to watch football and drink beer. He invites me to his house. I said, sure, I'll go to your house and watch football. A couple games go by, and he says, hey, you want a beer? I say, what the heck, one beer ain't going to hurt. Next thing you know, I'm an alcoholic, right? You can fall into their lure and very easily lose who you are if you're not careful. That's the point there. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16 says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. What partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony between Christ and Satan? So the wickedness, now, and you may say some of the things that I'm going to talk about are not wickedness. We can argue that till the cows come home. Not everything I say you're going to agree with. But anything that entices us or lures us or distracts us from God is not good. That's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. 1 John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If the world and those things become more important to you than God, you're living in sin. Rather, they're big things or little things. Remember, little things can become big things very easily. So the point is, we can love and enjoy the blessings, but the caution is, when they become idols and take the place of God, then we're living in rebellion. Okay? Now, we'll give you some examples, okay? Video games. I'm not going to, no show of hands here, don't say, oh yeah, I love that game, none of that. But we've come a long way since Pac-Man. And not in a good way. Anybody remember Pac-Man? Little guy nibbling on a ghost? Harmless, right? Now we have Game of Thrones. We have all these weird things. I don't even know. Mortal Kombat. But what are all those games based on? They are violence, sensuality, murder. They're desensitizing people to reality. Leave it at that. There's a lot of video games that are probably harmless. I'm not saying all video games are bad. But there is a lot of junk out there that people think is just a game, but it's based on witchcraft and things like that. Do a little research on games that you play. Just a caution side note. If a game is interactive, where you're doing it with somebody else that you don't even know, be careful. You don't know who's on the other end of the computer or what they want or what their purpose really is, especially young people that are a little more gullible than us old farts, right? So be cautious with video games. TVs and movies. When's the last time you found a family-friendly show on TV that was truly a good show? Again, most of the shows out there, violence, murder, sex, anything goes relationships, degrading of family values. They may call them family-friendly television, but I don't mean to insult anybody, but I'm not going to watch a show where the opening scene is two guys kissing on the front porch. That is not family-friendly, family-value television. That was a Hallmark movie, by the way, so be careful of Hallmark, too. They've gone way, way off the edge. How many shows do you see? There was one show. Anybody remember Two and a Half Men? Good, because it was a horrible show. The main character, his main goal was to sleep with every girl that came through the house in front of his nephew, and it was all good. No. Or shows that have two moms or two dads or whatever, or the ones where the wife is dominant and the husband's a schmuck. They're all degrading family values. They're desensitizing us to the fact of what God wants a family to look like or what God wants things to look like. They're the exact opposite. Anybody watch Netflix? I used to watch Netflix. I very rarely watch Netflix anymore. I went through Netflix menu, and I think 8 out of 10 of the shows on were adult content. Junk. All over the place. So you've got to be very careful of those things. So video games, TV, movies, any of that. May seem harmless, just a show, it's not real, but it all is to desensitize us to what is good, what God would have us doing. Music lyrics. This one will probably, a lot of you may not agree with this. Be careful what music you listen to if it's not Christian. Listen to some of the lyrics and see what they're really telling you. I give you two examples. I'm not a music guy. I randomly did a Google search. And I think these are both country music. So if you're a country music guy, don't worry. It's okay. I'm sure there are a lot of good songs out there. One of them was called Perfect. But the lyrics, if you listen to them, is actually giving the opposite message. The song is actually telling the woman that she will never be good enough to earn the pleasure, the respect and stuff of her parents. And kids are listening to this and then getting this message in their heads that they'll never be good enough. But they think it's just a song. But it's all planting seeds in our head. Here's one. One Last Time. This was definitely a country song. Basically, the girl's singing. She says, I'm going to have one more fling with my ex-husband. Even though we're both in new relationships. What the heck? It's just, So there's those type of things. So music lyrics, I'll leave it at that. And I didn't even mention any of the rock and roll stuff because I don't listen to it. Technology. This is the big buzzword, the internet. I think the internet is just basically the devil's playground. He's in there and he can stir up all kind of stuff on that. When's the last time you picked up your phone to look at the news or look at something, maybe a movie review or something? What happens within seconds? Pop-up ads, right? You get all kind of pop-up ads. Are any of the pop-up ads anything good? Very rarely. But they, again, they're just shooting you constantly with things. Anything goes pop-up ads, gambling apps, porn apps, all kind of apps that just pop up and just try to entice you into looking at them. Don't click on pop-up ads because it's usually never good. Ads that promote, encourage that anything goes mentality. If I have low self-worth and I see a makeup ad or a diet ad or a whatever ad, it's all things telling me that I'm not good enough and I need something. But they're all there just to lure you. Here's another caution for, especially for young women that use Facebook. Anybody know Facebook is not really good, right? I know a lot of people use Facebook. I don't use Facebook, but I used to. I got off Facebook because I didn't like it. I found an app on Facebook. If you're 18 or older and have a Facebook account, you can go to a site that allows you to turn any picture someone sends you into a nudie. So if my teenage daughter sends somebody a picture, I can get on and turn it into a nude photo if I get this app. So be very cautious. I'm not saying technology is bad. It has its uses. But there is a lot of junk out there, all designed to lure us away from godly values. Food and drink, things we taste and take in. I'm going to tell you, I used to love a good beer. I loved a Budweiser, nice and cold, right? But there's a lot of stuff out there that is permissible to have, but not necessarily good for us. Alcohol, drugs are the convenient, normal ones. But how about fast food? I'm going to tell you, I love a good double cheeseburger and a Coke. That is my, because I work in Lock Haven, and either I go in the morning and I'm done at lunch, or I go in at lunch and then I'm done at 4. McDonald's is right on the way. Oh, I got to have lunch before I go to work, right? No, I don't. But, man, a double cheeseburger and a Coke is really good. But it's all unhealthy junk. A lot of stuff we put in us is addictive and unhealthy for us. What am I putting in my temple? You may joke about that. What's the big deal? But how many of us have an illness or unable to do something or whatever because of our health? What we're putting in has an effect on what comes out. It affects everything we do. Now, that's just one example. I won't get into it. But we all know, if you've listened to the news and Kennedy on the news, the new health guy, a lot of the stuff we put into our food is just bad for us. Addictive additives make us crave more junk. So there's another one. How about just general desires? We're human, right? Are you human? Everybody human? I am. Lust, sensuality, it's all around us. I was in Hawaii the other day. Yeah, believe it or not, I go to the Y. Not often anymore, but I do go to the Y. I had to actually turn and walk out of the Y the other day because I was exercising on a machine, and right in front of me are the treadmills. And pretty girls walk on the treadmill. And I had to say no, and I turned around and actually left the Y because they were not dressed what I would deem appropriate for working out in the Y. So what we see, what we think, all of those things immediately can bring about a negative. So we have to guard ourselves. Pride, money, desires of the flesh, all of these things can lead to other problems. I'm not saying it's bad to be successful, but when I get greedy or prideful, and then that's all it's about, it's going to affect something else. Remember, everything comes at a cost. The cost can lead to other behaviors, other actions, other addictions. It can affect my family. It can lead to unhappiness, depression, anxiety. If you know you're living in sin and can't get rid of it, it brings other things in with it. That sin of lustful eyes or thoughts brings in shame, guilt, anxiety. It brings all kind of other friends with it. So even though it may seem like a small thing, it can lead to other things because the enemy always brings some friends with him. So be very cautious. Remember King David. He thought he had it all going for him until he didn't. So I want you to ask yourself a couple questions, and then we'll get to some other points. What do I think about in my free time? What do I do with my free time? You can answer that in your own time. Think about it. Who am I pleasing when I have downtime? And not that it's not bad to have some downtime. It's not bad to have some enjoyment or pleasure. But just think about the things you're doing or thinking about, and are they good things or bad things? Some things are just neutral. Sometimes I'll put in an old John Wayne movie or a Western or something. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you can't use these things. I'm just saying ask yourself some questions. Remember the list of lies. Just because it feels good don't mean you have to do it. Ask yourself am what I doing affecting my witness, perhaps? Remember, you might think you can handle it, but you can't. We're fleshly beings. In the flesh, we cannot handle some of these things on our own. They're spiritual battles. So think about some of the lies and the things that you're told. Again, good things about technology, a lot of good things in the world. We're a blessed people. But we've got to be cautious of what goes into the temple. Proverbs 4:23 through 27 says, guard your heart with all diligence. All diligence. For from it flows the springs of life. Put away deception from your mouth. Keep your lips from perverse speech. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Make a level path for your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or left. Turn away from evil. It's hard to get out once you're in. So if you don't get in to start with, you're going to have a much better time. So just be cautious what you do. But this is the big thought. If you don't hear anything else today, remember this. If I can't see God moving in my life, or I can't hear God speaking, maybe it's because I got too much junk in my temple. If there's too much junk in here distracting me, enticing me, wooing away from God, just wasting time, it's all going to interfere with what I hear from God. It's all going to interfere with what the plan is that God has for me. If God has a plan for me to go this way and I veer off this way because of some stupid pop-up ad got me into something bad, how am I going to go down this path if I'm now sucked into this path? Right? It's a conflict. We are at war all the time. When I was in the Marines, we were always ready to fight the battle. We weren't always on get going now thing, but we always had a suitcase packed. We are in a battle all the time. We cannot relax. We cannot get complacent. Have you ever been out in a cafe after church? You know, it's kind of noisy out there, right? If I'm sitting at a table with Mary, I'll use you, Mary, because you don't hear too well, and there's 15 other people talking, you think I can hear what Mary's telling me? Or Mary can hear what I'm telling her? That's how it is with God. How can I hear what God's saying if there's so much noise distracting me, enticing me, wooing me? Think of, what if Jesus sat down out there one day? You think we'd be able to hear him with all the junk we got in our lives? So have we gotten distracted, lost sight of the plan? Has our temple become defiled, filled with things of the world? We're living in a combat zone. And the enemy is bent on our destruction, and he does not fight fair. Something that seems small can get big in a hurry. Am I trusting the plan? I haven't always trusted the plan. I'll give you another Tim example because they're the only ones I know. I talked about the Marines' early marriage conflict. I got better, believe it or not. And I've been faithfully in church since 1989. But I didn't always follow the plan. Sometimes I let things interfere with the plan. I don't know. I know God watches over us even when we're stupid. Excuse me. I was stupid once. I didn't listen. But God made it good anyway. I'm not saying God's going to, if you go off track, God's still got you covered. It may take a while for you to get yourself back together, but God's always got you covered. But I got out of the Marines, came home and job hopped for a while because I just couldn't find anything to land on, to be honest with you. But then I landed on college. That's a fun story. Some of you may have heard it, but for those that haven't, I was working at Textron Lycoming down in Williamsport, making airplane engines. That's what I did in the Marines. I figured it was a good job. It was horrible. What a bad environment. If you live in a factory, I feel for you because they're just not great places. At least this one wasn't. You know, you ever fly in Piper airplanes? Don't fly in anything made from 90 to 92. Because I might have built it, and we used to go out at lunch and have a six-pack and then come back and go back to work. That's the kind of environment it was. But anyway, luckily I got put on strike. We used to strike more than we worked. We were on strike, and God said, you need to find something else. I drove from Textron after they put us on strike. I said, whatever. So I drove by Penn College, and God said, go in that building. I said, okay. I've never been to college in my life. Barely made high school, let alone college. But I went in this building, just picked a random building, went in. Walking down the hall, I remember it to this day, a lady named Barb Natel. She said, hey, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm looking for a job that has some value, that would bring meaning to my life. I work in a factory. And she says, let me tell you about the therapy program. Now, what are the chances that I would have gone in that building, talked to that lady, and by the way, signed up that day, and 30-some years later, I've helped a lot of people through life being a therapist. But along the way, I went to college, short version, I went to college. God provided for every need for 2.5 years of college. But somewhere along the line, I lost track of all of that. And at the end of college, you have to do 6 months of unpaid work. I had a wife and 3 small kids, and I'm not getting paid for 6 months. God had provided for every need for those 2.5 years. But fear crept in, distracting crept in, worry crept in, and I lost sight. I had a house in South Avis. I think back now, I wonder what would have happened if I'd actually kept that house. I got fearful. It was winter. How am I going to heat the joint? So I sold the house. We moved into a small apartment in Avis. I could have kept the house. God would have provided, but I lost track. Ended up in a small apartment, and then I moved to New York and stayed with my brother for 6 months. But the point is, even if you're doing everything right, all it takes is a little something to get you off track. I still had a foot in both worlds. I was still liking my beer, not as much, but you know, I still had that conflict, and I lost track of God. So any conflict that distracts us, can take us away from what's going on. So that's enough about that. So I'll actually get to the second point. Don't worry, they aren't all going to take this long. So we are a temple of the living God, verse 16 and 17. What friendship does God's temple have with demons or idols? For indeed, we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will make my home in them and walk among them. I will be their God, they will be my people. For this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. Okay? This must be important because he keeps kind of repeating the same things. Step away from the unclean, and I will embrace you. Avoid that stuff. So if I'm the temple, God's in me, if I put unclean junk in, that's going to affect what comes out. So I need to avoid it. Very simple. The more of the world that is in us, the less likely we are to demonstrate what God has for us. Got that? The more of the world in me, the less likely I am to portray what God wants me to do or be. Because they take away that conflict. You can't have that conflict. And 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says, as God's obedient children, never again shape our lives by the desires that you followed when you did not know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One. Okay, so newsflash. If you didn't know better, you do now because I just told you. Do with that what you will. If I continue to pollute the temple, I'm going to go the wrong way. Remember, any crack in the armor, the enemy's coming in. 1 Corinthians 6 says everything may be lawful, but that doesn't mean it's good. Just because the world says it's legal or okay or whatever doesn't make it good for us. There's a lot of stuff out there that is not. And then point number 3, the truth. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord. Very simple. I will be a true father, and you will be my sons and daughters. The world will try to entrap and snare and lure you away. The only life with Christ is that what can save us. Christ is it. Nothing the world has to offer is going to get you to heaven. Again, not everything in the world is bad. I enjoy the blessings that we have, but I'm also learning to be more and more cautious of the things that I expose my temple to. Now we'll get to the hard part, the challenge. Everybody loves a good challenge, right? You want to race? I don't. You go ahead. But the challenge, chapter 7, verse 1, beloved ones, with promises like these, and because of our deepest respect and worship of God, we must. It doesn't say we should. It doesn't say some things. It says we must remove everything from our lives that contaminates body and spirit, and continue to complete the development of holiness within us. We must. If we do not clean up our temples, the enemy wins, because it affects everything God has for me to do. Think about if I had not given up drinking beer. I know I'm on beer a lot, but it works so well. I'll give you a perfect example. My brother, and I'll throw him under the bus. Hi, John, nice to see you. He lives up in New York, he can't hear me. My brother led me to the Lord, one of the key influences, okay? I had the highest respect for my brother. I still do. Love my brother dearly. He's a firm believer. But he got off path for a while, in a small way, some would say. He had a couple sons that went in the Army. Got out of the Army. They all wanted to get a tattoo. My brother got a tattoo. Now, I'm not against tattoos. You want one? Go get one. I know what the Bible says about stuff like that in the Old Testament. You can look it up. But anyway, the boys would come home from the service around leave, and then they got out. And my brother decided it would be a great thing to have, I call them tailgate parties, but basically he has a truck and he'd pull down to the end of the driveway. And they'd sit there and drink beer and burgers and cook burgers and drink beer in the driveway. And I thought, nothing particularly wrong with that. I found out about it because I came home to see him one time, and I come up, and they're sitting in the driveway drinking beer, telling jokes, smoking cigars, and I'm thinking, you know, if I didn't know that guy any better, that isn't a very good witness. I was a new believer. This is good behavior. I'm not judging my brother. He got over it. They stopped doing it. He realized that he had slipped a little bit. But what if one of his congregants had driven by and saw an elder of the church sitting out in the front yard drinking a beer and telling jokes? I don't know if it would have affected anything, but it affected me, and it affected his witness. And we actually had a good talk about it, and hopefully I helped them get back on track. They stopped doing it, and it all worked out. But anything like that needs to be removed from our lives. And you may call me a little bit of a prude or a stickler, I don't know. But I don't drink beer anymore. I asked God to take that away, and he did. I don't cuss anymore because I asked God to take that away, and he did. I know for some of us it's not that easy to say, God, do it, and he does. Sometimes we have to work through it. But God says some of the things that will help us get through it is remembering who God says we are and not listening to the world. 2 Corinthians 10 3 through 5 says, though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of flesh. Instead, they have divine power to demolish arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It is a hard battle. We are outnumbered. Just like George Washington was outnumbered by the British, we are outnumbered. The enemy is everywhere, and he wants to consume us. But if we remember who God is and that we have the power of Christ in us, Holy Spirit power in us. Does everybody believe they have Holy Spirit power within them? Because if you don't, you need to figure it out. With God's power, we can conquer any enemy. We can work through that. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes he wants us to, we work through prayer for years sometimes. But remembering who God says we are and the power we have in him, we can cleanse our temple. So God says a couple things. These are just a few. You can add to this list probably until it's a foot long. We are a temple of God. We are precious in his sight. We are beloved. We are his friends. We are forgiven. So even if you've fallen off the deep end, you're forgiven. Repent and come back. We are unique, priceless. We are made in his image. We're made in God's image and he lives in us. You think he wants us full of defiled trash? No. We are chosen and we have a purpose. God has a plan. Can't trust the plan and follow the plan if we've got a bunch of junk distracting us. We are redeemed. So even if you think you've fallen off the trail and you can't get back in, you are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Repent, come back. God will welcome you. We need to draw on the promises and surrender those things. Don't struggle with them. I struggled for years with stuff. Don't struggle with it. Surrender it. God will take care of it. Remember, our temple, what people see, what they hear, what they witness from us affects our walk, affects how we minister, how we witness to people. All of those things are affected when our temple is defiled. Okay. Worship team can come up if they want to. If not, I'll just keep talking. But as they come, I'm going to read a couple more scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 7, 3 and 4. I am not saying this to condemn you, for I already told you I carry you permanently in our hearts. You will stay there throughout our lives, for we will live together and die together. With an open heart, let me freely say to you how proud I am of you and how often I boast about you. In fact, when I think of you, my heart is greatly encouraged and overwhelmed with joy, despite our many troubles. Let's translate that to you guys. That is how Pastor Don and Sherry and the leadership of this church feels about you. You are loved, and we are proud of you. We have weathered storms. I know many of your struggles, not all of them, but I know many of your struggles because I've struggled with a lot of stuff. You know mine. We are proud of each of you for weathering the storm and wanting to grow and wanting to be better. Just as God's temple was beautiful beyond imagine, you are also beautiful in God's eyes. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what has defiled your temple, God's got you covered. All you have to do is ask. We know you're fighting and contending for your freedom in Christ. You guys can start playing. One more example from Scripture in Matthew. God reminded me about this, I think it was yesterday morning, I was driving to work, actually. Saturday morning. He reminded me that Jesus, remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the last week, I believe, that he was with us before he was raised? He came into the temple. What did he do in the temple? Do you remember? He came into the temple, he saw how the people had defiled it. This was the physical temple in Jerusalem. Scripture says he drove them out, upset their tables. My version, he tore it up. He said, enough, get out, He dealt with it. If you're struggling with anything, if anything I've said pricked your heart or convicted you, just from where you are, the altar call is going to be in your seats today because I have no helpers. Give God the permission to tear up your temple. Give him permission to go in, expose what is dirty and defiled, and tear it up. Whatever that is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be free from that slavery, free from whatever that is that's holding you captive. Doesn't matter if it's a big thing, a little thing, or something you think you're never going to conquer. God can conquer. Through the power of the blood, we can stop struggling with the flesh and surrender to the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, just for the promises that we can find in your word. I love it when I get to preach, Lord, because even though I'm in the word every day, when I have to preach, I get in the word even deeper. And I am just always amazed, Lord, at how you promise us so many things. How you promise to fight our battles. You are our shield and our standard. How we can put on the full armor of God. All of these things, all of these promises. Lord, so as we sing this last song, just touch people's hearts where they are, Lord. I pray that anybody that has something that they've surrendered to you right now, and I say surrender, they can stop struggling right now, and in Jesus' name, they can surrender it to you and be free. Help us all to just let you, give you permission to tear up our temple, whatever it is that has defiled the temple of God, so that we can be free and we can continue to trust the plan and hear from you and do the things you've called us to do more effectively. So we thank you, Lord, again, and we just pray for any other needs that are in the house today. I know there's some physical needs and some other things, some losses in families and some hospitalizations. And we just pray for every need, Lord, that you would just touch those needs. Provide whatever is needed in those situations, whether it's physical healing or just healing from a hurt or from a loss. Just be with those families, Lord. Be with those people that are dealing with those things. We just lift them up before you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If anybody does want to come forward, you can. But in your seats is fine too.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with the Lord Most High. You're hidden.
announcement today is, remember, there's no prayer Wednesday through the rest of the month. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for just your mercies, which are new every day. Thank you that your promises, you'll never leave or forsake us. So many promises, Lord, that you give us to draw on. Help us to draw our strength through you, Father. As we leave this place, I just pray a blessing over everyone that goes forth from here, and just walk with them, Lord. Guide them, protect them, watch over them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
Amen.
Thank you all for joining us.